Welcome to VFN TV and the daily VFN radio program, where we're keeping the conversation light. That's L-I-G-H-T, light, with your host, Greg Lancaster.
That this new book came out, John, this new book came out. It's called Privacy in the Age of Big Data. This is a big deal.
Yeah.
They were writing this book, co-authors Theodore Claypool and Teresa Payton were writing this book at the time before Snowden came out. And their publicist said first, they go, "This people are not interested in anything like this. I mean, they're just not going to be interested." Then all of a sudden, all these things started happening. They're like, print it, print it, print it. And they just came out with it. And some two interesting facts that I thought, because some people tell you, "Oh, your data is secure." Now, you have to understand, Teresa Payton, she worked for Barnett Bank. And Barnett Bank was on the cutting edge of this kind of technology, how to better serve the customer.
Mm.
And as she said, they were creating, and Barnett Bank has now been bought out by one of these bigger banks and all now. She said who it was, I can't remember. And it just never crossed her mind that somebody can hack into the data. And this is what they said. They said that everything is hackable. Teresa said this, the one who created that technology. Mm. Everything is hackable. I mean, think about that. I mean, everybody's saying this is not hackable. Do you have your password? Do you have like a 4-digit password? You know, and it's just like, what are you talking about? Everybody's like, "Hey, nobody will ever get my password." What do you mean? Banana 71. Come on. Your date of birth.
I mean, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5.
I like people's email. I don't give anybody my information. You got your date of birth and your name and your email address for Gmail. I'm like, come on. It is crazy. But everything's hackable. No matter your intentions, you are risking your customer's information, she said, if you put anything online about them.
Mm.
And they have one particular company that put all their profiling, which I guess is legal if you're a corporation, their customers, trying to better understand so they can market and meet the needs of their customers. And there's psychological profiles. Can you imagine? You could figure us out. It's like, I don't understand when they're talking about Tara and they think they're talking about Jesus. And so they had the psychological profile, she reports, on their customer base. So this is what companies, and I'm not saying they're doing it, but you think about Target and Walmart, and they say, "Do you have a rewards card?" It's like, "No, I don't have it. I will not sell out my phone number." "Well, you get a discount." "Okay, I'll give you John's phone number." "This is John's phone number."
Right.
It even knew that I gave him John's phone. "This is John's phone number." "No, I just made up a number, 555-5555. And it said, "This is not your number." And so I gave it in. And she says, "Oh, sorry, no discount. I just gave up my entire thing."
You know, you don't qualify.
I wanted this pack of gum. I thought I was going to get like a dime off or something. I don't know. It was so stupid. Even when you pump gas, they're like, "Well, you give your data away." They say, "You got a reward." Isn't that beautiful? A rewards card.
Right.
A rewards card. And so they got hacked. This company got hacked. And so Teresa's saying that, Teresa Payton was saying that all the psychological profiles for their customer, the psych profiles, was out.
Oh, great.
It's not good for business if you're saying, "It's Friday, it's pizza, it's wings," you know, down the southern portion of that particular region. You know, we're not going to talk about who that is. Or chicken and ranch dressing, or no, chicken and Italian dressing and Tupperware.
And cereal.
And cereal. He had an early watch. So think about that. So understand this, that we should live a life once hacked, that you shouldn't be any different.
Mm-hmm.
And repent for everything, you know, whatever, including your buying habits. When you use a credit card, it records, you know, everything attaching to that particular number. And the Lord, if you go back and watch prophecies, go to VFNTV.com and go to the VFN Torch for prophecies. I told you it's going to be a cashless society. I mean, God showed me paper money's going. And outside of knowing that this is a perfect type of economy for the Merc of the Bees. This is a perfect type of economy for men to control people and all that kind of stuff, but also to bless people, because there's a lot of people that aren't moving up in the economy because of people hoarding this paper money and whatever. Either way, in the logical sense, it makes sense. I mean, who carries around cash? I mean, who really carries around cash? And this next generation that's after us, they don't carry cash at all, which means every purchase that they make is tracked. And so we're heading in that direction, which means everything will be hackable, everything will be trackable, and hopefully, you know, I can't tell it to me. Anyway, everywhere you are, there's a little dot going on some map somewhere showing where you're at. So truly, if you live the life you say you live, you know, your dot's not going to go to certain places. Mm-hmm. And if it does, it won't be there long, because you'll see, like, the dot goes, like Joseph runs away. The dot just runs. See how fast my dot left? I didn't realize that Potiphar's wife was in there. Right. I ran for my life. Now, they're saying your coats are going to be your phone. That your coat will even be a tracking device and that type of thing. They'll be talking to your coat. And you know, we're in Florida, so we won't have one of those.
We won't have that problem.
If it's just shorts, maybe, or a shirt. But Joseph would have left his coat there, because they would have thought, yeah, you were there longer. Mm-hmm. No, that was my coat. It wasn't it wasn't me. Well, continue talking about, you know, privacy and the age of the big data in their book, co-authors Theodore Claypool and Teresa Payton. They said that in regards to this, nothing goes away. Everything, once it's out there, it's out there. And but they said, this is what they found out, 60% of people who do search engines, whether you search for something, I mean, it's amazing who people can't just type in the URL. They just type in the company name in the Google. It's like, did you ever think about typing in www. Or whatever?
.com.
.com. And it says, they just go to Google. And which, by the way, when you do that, that gets more data in the context of their data system. But 60% of people who use search engines do not go past the first page. I mean, that's how important it is to get your business on the top search, because if you sell a product, realize if you hit the first page, 60% of people are going to buy your product if they're looking for something. Isn't that something? 60%. And then 90% of people, they say, don't go past the third page. So if something bad's out there, just pray, dear God, move it to the fifth page. Because only 10% of the world's population. This is amazing.
Wow.
And so if you really want to find something, right, go to the fourth page. Go to the fourth page. And from what I understand about, since it doesn't go away, that when you hire people like reputation.com and all that, they actually create positive things about you that come and pushes the other information down somehow. So they don't make it go away. It just starts talking about how good Pat is, you know, and those different type of things. And one more thing they talked about, which I thought was pretty interesting, that these apps, it says, when you have an app that comes up on your phone, it says, do you want to be able to reveal your location? It's like, why do you want to know my location? And when you do that, according to what they were saying, like weather app did that. And every 10 minutes, it sends your location back to that particular company. Every 10 minutes. Versus just saying, no, I'll just, you know, for this one encounter, I want them to know where I'm at.
Right.
So everything you said yes to in regards to enabling that tracking, you're telling that third-party company, not just whoever your phone company is or whoever their iPhone or whatever, Google, you're actually saying, just, you can track me everywhere I'm at. And so I thought it was pretty interesting. But the truth is, you know, Jesus told us that there's nothing under the sun that's not going to be revealed. It's going to be shouted from the rooftops. So we got to begin to live our life in a way that says, you know, that the reason why we're Christians, we needed a savior. We've fallen. We're sinful outside of Jesus Christ. And if Jesus does not put a grace on our life, if he does not keep us, we fall. And he tells us that because we are his, if we do sin, we actually have an advocate, that we can actually confess our sins to God, and he'll forgive us of our sins. So Christians aren't sinless, they're forgiven.
Right.
And there's nothing that's taking you that's not common to man, but there is only one remedy, and that's Jesus Christ at the cross. And we have to live a life. And when you have more of a concern about men finding out than God already knowing and finding out, mm-hmm. you're going to be defeated anyway. Because every time men are not around you, men don't know your stuff, you're in sin. You know, versus, you know, the traveling businessman, right? Mm-hmm. Yeah, he's when he's at home, he's totally fine. But when he travels, he ends up falling into sin.
That's right.
Because he has a fear of man, not a fear of God. But if he walks with the fear of God, he has the same awareness of God and the knowledge of God wherever he's at. And so he watches what he turns on in his hotel room. He watches who he fellowships with and those different things when he or she travels out there.
We'll be right back.
I minister with a group of people that I just absolutely love because all of us, we get tired. We want to quit every week. And we look at each other and go, no, let's go. Let's go talk to some more people. I know we were all rejected yesterday. Let's keep going. That's what the body of Christ was supposed to do. We were supposed to gather together to stir one another up, to encourage, put courage into each other. And that's what this is about. Man, our prayer is that God would do something in our midst that we really could walk away with greater courage.
Our role and responsibility is to really set the tone and direction of society and culture. I tell people all the time that the movement that was led by my father was a spiritual movement. It wasn't a civil rights movement. It impacted civil rights. But it was a spiritual movement, and its assignment was to civil rights.
Did you know that Jesus himself said, apart from abiding in him, that we can accomplish nothing? So many people want to be able to do that, but you know what? They don't have a plan to do it. We put together a simple plan for you, and it's at iabide.org. iabide.org. Go there and request your plan today. It is amazing how your life will change when you begin to spend time with him who created the universe. He's been desiring that you would do that. It's at iabide.org. Request your simple plan today.
Welcome back to VFN TV with your host, Greg Lancaster.
And so just this gratitude, you know, and I just had this came over me, and I you know, I'm the kind of person that goes into the store at least once or twice a year, and I look at how much food we have. You go to a thing like Sam's, you go, that's like 70,000 gallon cans of green beans. And where do we grow these things at, right?
Mm-hmm.
And the paper packaging and all, I'm like, okay, help me not to get focused on that, God. We got so much trash we're throwing away. And, but just the roads, you think about, we have these roads in America and we just take them for granted, but all the government officials that took the time to plan and to strategize and plan 10 years down the road for drainage and for roads and all these county commissioners and city council people and state that said, you know, we're going to make sure these roads get done. I mean, we appreciate you. We're just grateful for all that you're doing and making transportation possible. I mean, it's just very exciting to me. We're thankful for, you know, the government. To be a person who chooses to be in government in this day, I mean, I admire you. That is something else because this is almost the ultimate unpleasable atmosphere. You know, it's about pleasing a majority of folks to be able to stay in office or get elected. And the fact that you would just go to that state capitol every day and you would sit through those boring, long meetings as people talk about a stop sign over the railroad track back in their city. And, you know, plus getting the big things done while you're there and then making sure the funding happens, making sure we don't compromise our states and that type of thing. I mean, I'm just very grateful for those ones who will serve in government and those that serve in local counties and city council and county commissioners. And, you know, that's amazing because they deal with things like, okay, we're going to zone this, you know, a category. You can't drive a bus down here, but you can drive a car down here. You can put two houses on this. You can't put three houses on that. You know, that's just not me. It's like, oh, you know what I'm saying? But that's the stuff that keeps things going.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, without that, you know, I think about the county that we're in, you know, Commissioner Robinson, where he, in his district, there was this business that, dumping company, a trash company, that just dumped everything out there and just abandoned their business and left that toxic waste that was raining and overflowing and pouring into the neighborhoods. He sat there and focused on that thing and raised $6 million to be able to make sure that all those people were safe down there.
Wow.
I mean, think how nice that is.
Wow.
You know, you think about these different ones, and then you think about, you know, the ones who are over the schools, the principals and the superintendents and all those ones. Every day, you're strategizing how to make sure that our kids, you know, are safe, that they learn how to read and write and function and get a job and those different type of things and stay alive too in the context of these things, and deal with the multiplicity of parenting, you know, that's going on and how grateful we are for those folks. And then the police chiefs and the sheriffs across the land that every day they're thinking about how to keep you safe, and their deputies and their police officers are out there. I mean, these are components that give us a land of peace. You know what I'm saying? We don't have a land of peace without these ones who serve in government and serve us like this. This is why you pay your taxes. This is what your tax money goes to. Then I think about the soldiers. I think about the soldiers who risk everything to defend our country from enemies, foreign enemies. And they are willing to take orders from one commander-in-chief that we elected to go out there and to lay their lives down for our country and to go to foreign lands. You know, I was just talking to one of my family members that's fixing to go to Germany, and, you know, her husband's being deployed over there, so she's going to be going to Germany. And the things that families have to give up so that somebody in their family can serve us, and I'm just so grateful for that. I mean, you put all these components together, you got freedom. You got function. You got a place that you can do business in, that you can live your life in, and you could just be so grateful. So I was riding down the road, you know, just thanking God for food, because we just came off of a fast. And I was just grateful, you know, and I pulled up this intersection, and there was this particular man that had a sign that needed some help. And I've never seen a man at this particular intersection, never. It's just an odd intersection. It's too big of an intersection to make any kind of impact, I guess. But he was standing there with a sign, and I was in the middle lane. It wasn't any cars there. And, you know, I'm like, I want to give him some, you know. So I called him over, and Donna was with me, and she started rolling her window. I said, no. Keep your window up. I'll have him come around my side. Yeah. And so he came around, and he looked me, you know, in the eye, and I gave him, you know, something to help him out. And I said, God bless you. And he looks back at me and says, God bless you. But then he stops. He turns around and he looks at me in the eye, because, you know, you can have somebody that's you know, just their normal life, but they have to give a prophecy, but they're not moving prophetically. But all of a sudden, then they pause, and then they begin to prophesy to you. That's the moment the Spirit of God moves on that person, that delivers that word to you. So all of a sudden, you were talking to a person, but then God was talking to you through that person. Now you're getting a prophetic word. It was kind of like that encounter. And all of a sudden, he looks me in my eyes. You know, we're just coming out of this huge, awesome move of God with Miriam Ibrahim being removed and moved out released. Of prison, released, and just watching God just do these awesome things. And then he turns back around, he looks me in my eyes, and I felt like I was looking in the eyes of Jesus. And this is somebody that's in tattered and, you know, and going through some real rough times, and said, I love y'all. And it was just like pierced.
Wow.
Wow.
You know, he just says, I love y'all. And I just felt like God just said through this man. I just felt like, you know, this man was there for that encounter to say that this, what we do matters, and that God loves us. And it made me think of Hebrews chapter 13, verse 2, when he says, be not forgetful to entertain strangers, thereby someone have entertained angels unaware as. And I felt like God just came up to our car after that time of just, you know, painstakingly trying to seek him, hear him, this process, and then finally releasing the word, going in times of prayer and fasting, seeing what's going on. Because we listened, he came up and he told myself and Don, and I believe everybody, he just says, I love y'all. And I was like, oh my goodness, I couldn't get away from that. So I just want to tell you that God loves you. He's got a plan for your life. Nothing you do for him is in vain. It will never be forgotten. Everything you do for him is being written down in a book and remembered. And God just wants you to know that he loves you We'll be back.
We'll be right back. Law, liberty, justice. This is Law and Justice with Jay Sekulow.
I have a daughter who is currently on active duty in the military. She has been put in charge of founding a youth group within the chapel setting, and the people there have been real resistive as far as fundraising events or some of the other ideas that she would like to implement. She was wondering where she would go to find the information that would make her superiors more comfortable in knowing what the parameters are.
First, of course, our website has a tremendous amount of information on this issue, but we also have a couple of lawyers at the American Center for Law and Justice that deal with issues of religious liberty and the military. And you're correct. These youth groups can meet. They can have the same rights as they would in private life. Let me get you in touch with our lawyers. Also encourage you to get your daughter to go to our website at ACLJ.org.
Visit us at ACLJ.org. That's ACLJ.org.
I want to welcome our VFN TV audience, our Christian Television Network audience, around the nation and on the Gulf Coast, Monday through Friday. Also, our VFN radio audience around the nation and around the world. If you've been missing our program, or you're saying, I wish I would have got that, or would have got this. If you sign up for the Torch newsletter, go to VFNTV.com. I believe in the upper right-hand corner, it says newsletter sign up. Just go there. Mm-hmm. And every single week, you're going to get a summary of what happened that week in a way that you can just kind of glance right through it and say, what do you want to watch? What do you want to hear? What do you want to share? And we want to make sure whatever way you can get it. But by signing up for The Torch, you know, that makes that possible for you. In other words, you can listen throughout the week, but you can summarize it at the end of the week to make sure that you didn't miss something that you need to know.
Welcome back to VFN TV with your host, Greg Lancaster.
Yeah, can you believe this, John? I don't have the exact numbers, but I heard it on the Blaze television that 63% of people surveyed, maybe 67, mm-hmm. It's in the 60s, they would rather experience pain, to be electrically shocked, than to have to learn something.
Really?
Man, this is so explains the dilemma I've been having in America. It's like, wow. You don't want to learn. You think about it. If 81% of the Christians don't even pick up their Bible, and the ones that do don't, it's like, oh my goodness, that's what it is.
Exactly.
But they're saying, but people, this is based on what the reports are, that people are literally saying, I would rather have physical pain exerted on my body than to have to learn something.
Wow.
Isn't that wild?
Wow.
And so you think about the dumbing down of our society and what's taking place. It's working. People are like, you don't have to know how to go anywhere. Just pull up Google Maps. Your dot will appear and you just touch another place.
Tell you where to go.
You want to go and you just, shock me, man. I'm not going to have to go look at a map.
Read something?
What? Read something. What? Look it up in the dictionary. Remember those days?
Mm-hmm. They don't have a podcast for that? They don't
How am I going to look a word up I don't know in the dictionary? How is this going to work? Just Google it.
Wow.
The pain, they rather have pain. And it's like, okay, we can do this. We can do this. Thank God for VFN TV and the Daily Radio program.
No doubt.
Let's just work together here. We're going to pass on knowledge and we're going to pass on information. Mm. You will not have to be electrocuted. You can just relax a little bit. Listen to the podcast. You know, listen to, watch VFN TV, and we can get through this thing.
Yes.
You are going to learn. It's not going to be a painful experience. Mm. You can relax, as a matter of fact. And listen to it 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, and watch us on CTN. Think about this. This, what I'm about to show you right now, you think about it. How many times a day, when you're looking at somebody that rather be shocked than to learn something, this father has been trying to teach you. You got to teach your kids basic skills, like how to use a fork, you know, how to chew with both of your lips touching each other. Right?
He's like, I use a toothbrush.
Toothbrush on all your teeth.
Yes.
And so in that this father was having difficulty with his kids not listening. I mean, he was explaining the basic things. And so he realized they're always on social media. They're always on Facebook. They're always on YouTube watching all this, hours and hours of videos. And he's like, I think I got a new concept. So he's teaching the basic principles of his first lesson plan on YouTube with the hopes that his children will learn this. This is beautiful. You got to watch this. Maybe we can do this as well.
Hi, this is a video for my kids. This is the first in a series of instructional videos to help them with life. Obviously, me telling them face to face is not working. So I've tried to be creative, and I've come up with the idea of using social media to try and reach you. So this first instructional video is number one in the series, how to change the toilet roll. I know this is a difficult one, so James and Beth, please pay attention. Okay, the first thing you've got to do is you've got to find a new toilet roll. Second thing is, this is the toilet roll holder. Now, as you can see, there's an empty one already on there. So the first thing you have to do is remove this empty one like this. Just slip.
You have to understand those that are listening on radio, because you have the benefit of watching this on TV right now. But you're going to see this. You got to see this on VFN TV. We'll make it available on the VFN Torch.
Sure.
The man is trying to explain how to try to change a toilet paper roll to his kids.
Wow.
Oh, wait, watch this. Watch this.
This just slips off like that. And then we take the toilet roll and we place it on there like that. Now, that's really all there is to it. So make sure you watch that a few times. The advanced level would be to actually take the empty toilet roll holder and put it in the bin. I feel that might be just a step too far at the moment. So we'll keep it as is at the moment, but thank you very much for watching.
That is hilarious. Wow. But how many people said, did you check a YouTube video on that?
Mm.
This might be the way to teach children how to actually change out the toilet paper roll.
Could be. We can have a series. I can see a whole library full of practical things that we can instruct. This
right.
This has a whole new dimension.
Right, right. Mm-hmm. You pull the top off the trash can, and then you bring the parts of the bag together, and then you tie it up, and you pull it out of the can, and you make sure nothing's dripping from the bottom of it, in case you put something that you shouldn't have put in there, and carry it out and put it in the bigger receptacle outside.
Here's one for you. When you open the door, you can just reach back with the other hand and just pull it right behind you when you're walking out.
Or reach back in the back of your pocket, pull out your wallet, and you pay the power bill.
That would work too.
Yeah, right. Isn't that crazy?
Crazy.
But I think this will work.
I think so.
I think many people now know how to change the toilet paper roll.
Profound.
Because this man knew this is how people learn today in social media. Isn't that, it's just amazing, isn't it?
And they'll watch it go, yeah, what the? Now I got it.
I'm your host, Greg Lancaster, and we're so glad that you've joined us. Don't forget you can join us 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Download our app and sign up for our newsletter, The Torch, at vfntv.com. I've enjoyed our time together. God bless.